Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of Days of Our Lives. You can join us daily on our blog at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can follow me. My name is Carrie on Twitter at Diva Abdul. And we also have two Facebook pages. And you'll find links to everything on our show page. So tonight we're going to have a pretty exciting conversation. We have a bunch of callers calling in. Marianne will join us later. She's out partying. it's true. So we're glad she has the night off. And then Sabina, who went to the Atlanta Days event last weekend, she'll be calling in about an hour or so. So she'll be telling us all about that. And she posted some footage that she took, and it's on the Diva blog now. It isn't about a two-minute interview with Gail and Gehring, and a two-minute one with Eric Marshall. And there's another one with Sean Christian that I probably put up tomorrow, so if you want to check that out. And the Eric Marshall one is hilarious. He's doing the human ping pong table, and he also told this cool story about how he's up for the role of Cyclops in the X-Men movie and didn't get it. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because I've never heard that before, and he would have made a better Cyclops. Cyclops, in my opinion, just the guy they picked was awful. So that's just me. we are joined tonight by Anna.
Hello.
And we have our friend Nicole, who just drove in.
Hello.
And we have SJ, our Wiki Days fan.
Hi, everybody. Be sure to cover any of those technical aspects of the show that we so easily forget sometimes. Was the show still on the air? I kind of forgot about it. No, I'm kidding. We refer to her for only historical references now, since Jack's gone. No, mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't ask me anything current. No, I'm kidding.
First off, even though he stopped watching Days, I'm still going to pimp at Bob Hapka because he's hilarious. It's at BOBHAPKA. So if you like
watching?
People, he stopped watching. Yep. Was I trying to get him to call in? Bob stopped watching the show. Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. You have to ask him. He stopped watching. Yep. So I guess you weren't following him because he passes EJ. I guess you can start following him again now.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Anna, let's have you start us with the Kate action that we had this past week.
I don't know why you always go to me for Kate. I have no idea. Okay. The Kate correspondent. No. First of all, it was great because, you know, a few weeks ago we had Kate week, which is 5 days a week. Kate, this is awesome. Then the next week, I'm losing track now. But anyway, this week we had 4 days of Kate, so it was awesome again. Let's see. There were some great scenes early in the week with Sammy. Did you guys catch that with Sammy and Lucas and Kate? Oh, my gosh. They were so awesome. I mean, Kate just went off on Sammy. I mean, you know, I don't remember word for word, but it was hysterical. And at one point, she goes, "You need to go back to Hong Kong in summer." And he's like, "It's autumn for the last time." You know, so that's still. And Lauren said it with such a straight face. Oh my God, this is great. How did she get through that without laughing? But yeah, she like wants to ground Sammy into like smithereens. This is what is apparently bonding Madison and Kate, because Lord knows good hair is not the thing that's bonding those two. But anyway, that's my fashion commentary for the night. But because Kate's got way better hair. But anyway, No, but so yeah, so there was basically to summarize, I guess, as much as I hate it, Kate and Madison have now agreed to join forces, figuring even if they hate each other, they hate Sammy more. And I find it a little disgusting that you know, that they think Sammy is quite as imposing of a character as she is, but she does know how to steal DNA records and stuff from the hospital, you know, records and stuff. So she's pretty good at it. But she's got Stefano backing her. So, and I love having, I'd much rather see Kate against Sammy than Kate against Madison. So, you know, if we had to work it out this way, I'm glad that at least, you know, Sammy and Kate are going after each other, and we'll just pretend like Madison's not part of the picture for my sake. But anyway.
She won't be much longer, so you're okay there.
Yeah. Yeah, I am happy about that. I mean, no offense to the actress, of course, but just the character. But anyway, and I wish they would bring in, we're talking about that in the chat room, I wish they'd bring in a kick-ass Autumn, like some girl that just comes in and, like, kicks ass. And, like, that would be fun. She'd really throw a wrench in Sammy and Kate's world. But anyway, anyway, so there were some definite exchanges, some hilarious stuff with Lucas in the middle. It was so funny. I don't know. You just gotta. You almost just have to watch it because it just there's no way to like recap it. It was just really funny. And so we had some of that, and then later in the week we had Ian and Kate had some scenes, which I enjoyed those two together. So that was nice. And basically, Ian was trying to reassure Kate and kind of just, I don't know, she's having her doubts or whatever, so he's trying to reassure her that he doesn't still have feelings for Madison, which, come on, really? Okay, but anyway, I guess I should leave my editorial comments to myself, but why start now? I don't know. So there was some reassuring on Ian's part. He was very sweet to Kate and very cute, and he gave her a smile and said, he smiles. I love it when Ian Buchanan smiles. Oh, anyway, he wouldn't have to convince me, let's put it that way. But he wouldn't have to talk for long. But he was like, I don't want you to work all the time, Kate. We need to go to Tahiti or something, or use the company privileges, you know, to run off somewhere for a little bit. I thought, well, why not? All the Madison's done since she got to town with Screw Brady, so why don't they get to play? I mean, come on. I mean, it seems to be a pretty loose company policy here. And I thought it was a little bit ironic. I don't know whether they stuck this in or not for fun, but when he said he mentioned two or three different places, but the first one was Tahiti, and that's where Lauren actually honeymooned with her real-life husband, who they just celebrated their 20-something anniversary this week, so I thought that was cute.
Oh, wow.
I think it's like 23 or 25 years. I'm not exactly, I think it's 25. I think it's 25 years. But I thought that was funny. I wondered if maybe they added that or, you know, put Tahiti in there for a shout-out. But anyway, so they were all cute. But, you know, Ian's obviously up to something. I can't figure out if he's trying to fool Kate, if he's pulling one over on Kate or using Kate, or if they're trying to make it look like that, but he's really trying to screw with everybody else. But anyway, he's got something up his sleeve. But it makes it interesting because, come on, if they were just this boring little couple, it wouldn't be a soap opera. So there's definitely some underlying drama there. And then he tells Kate that the Mad World server was crashed or hacked by someone. And so she calls and interrupts what she knew was a little celebration between Brady and Madison, gets Madison out of bed and gets her out, tells her to get her ass to the office. And so they start plotting, and Madison has to somehow, she has to convince Kate that Sammy's behind it. I'm like, come on, really? I mean, that would have been the first, I didn't like the writing on that because Kate would have figured that out right away. But anyway. So now they've realized they know who the enemy is, and it is Sammy. So the stage is set for that. And meanwhile, back to Ian for a minute. He's got his own little side gig. He met up with some guy in with a backpack or a satchel or something, and he bought some sort of drug from him that he then laced Brady's drink with when he later just happened to run into him at the Brady pub, just coincidentally, while they were both drinking. Anyway, so, and Brady left his drink unattended, just coincidentally, and left, went outside for a bit and then came back in. So he laced his drink with some serious stuff that's supposed to really mess with him. So don't know where that's going yet as far as the story goes, but for whatever reason, he's trying to take Brady out or mess him up or put him back on drugs or get him re-addicted or whatever. So, and I certainly hope it's not because he still has the hots for Madison, because that's just stupid. But anyway, because I don't know. But that's, I don't know, am I leaving anything out? I think that's about it for the Kate Ashton.
Oh, I forgot K-Man.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Do you want to share, do you want to talk about that part? Or do you want to share that?
Sure. Okay. They were, well, I always loved K-Man. So I'm like, oh, finally, Roman, you know, moved on from Marlena. They were such a cute couple, and we've been begging for years for them to actually acknowledge that they were exes and had two children together. And it was great. They were at the pub, and Roman wanted to warn Kate about Stefano being on the warpath because of the attack on Marlena at the square. And then Kate told him, you know, what happened to her, and that he kicked her out. Well, he shouldn't talk about the affair, but that he kicked her out and gave the company to Sammy, and Roman's mad that Sammy never should have took that job, which, I mean, he has a point and everything. And they were flirting, and Kate
they were cute.
Yeah, Kate asked if he was hitting on her, but she's single now, and he actually turned her down, which is weird, because Roman hasn't had sex in 5 years since Anna was in town. I'm pretty hard up at this point. So it was a really cute scene. It was about a half an hour of the show, the first half an hour of the show before they parted, but it was nice. It's because I love stuff like that.
It was nice.
Yeah, we were discussing that in the chat room. It was nice to see Roman and Kate. Nicole, I'm happy to talk about Shane, and then we're going to have to get Angela on, because the poor girl's been on hold. So go ahead, Nicole.
I am happy to announce that my most favorite character of all time, Shane Donovan, has returned.
Yay!
I did actually squeal when I first saw him. I'm sure there were plenty of others who did, too. I wasn't the only one. So he swoops in to attempt to save the day by helping the safe house gang disarm the bomb, which I find very strange that all of a sudden he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, because he disarmed the bomb at the Brady Fish Market, which looks a lot more imposing than this one. So I'm very disappointed in how he is being written, because he's kind of being written as a doofus, for lack of a better word.
All for the sake of Brave, no doubt.
He's definitely not being written like the hero that he once was when he was the man, and he just walked in, took charge, and this is what we're going to do. And he walks the gang through a list of options, and then finally he's like, I don't have anything else. How do you not have anything else?
But I'll always have something else. Come on.
So wait, your favorite character returned and you've been very disappointed with his return so far? Wow, never felt that before.
You can't relate to that, can you?
I can't relate to that one at all, man.
It has been terrible. I'm hoping that it'll get better, although I'm starting to wonder. I did notice a few things, though. Like, I noticed that Roman, when they first thought that Shane walked them through disarming the bomb, he was like, oh, I'm so happy my sister fixed you. And then Friday, Carrie calls him Uncle Shane.
Mm-hmm.
If he and Kim are still divorced, I don't see why she would be referring to him as that. So I have this fear that they somehow reunited my couple off screen, and now they're like married and living happily ever after while he's here in Salem and she's in California.
They would never do that. Tony and Anna.
No. Yeah, and I can't imagine why they would want to do that. You know, it was bad enough that you send them off into the sunset with him having left the ISA, and then you bring him back as part of the ISA, and have him simply state, oh, Kim said I could do it just because it was Stefano. I don't think so. So I know Friday was their cliffhanger,
mm-hmm.
was basically the explosion, and it was kind of like, that was disappointing. Not that I wanted people to blow up, but I would assume they were making such a big deal out of this big
ball. I was
kind
of hoping a few of them would.
That, you know, it's like I have a 20-pound cat, so when he meows, you think he's going to have, like, this big, you know, hearty meow to him, and he says,
mm-hmm.
"Mew." It's like I expected, like, this giant explosion, and it just went, boom.
Didn't I tell you it was lame? It was like those little, not like a firecracker, those little things you snap, you throw them on the ground, and they have a little bit of gunpowder powder in them, and they just go like, yeah, just like cracks, pop. That's what it sounded like. I mean, there was no explosion. It was just beyond cheap, and it was bad. It was embarrassing, the explosion.
That's been
the
NBC cutbacks. That's
oh
all
my
they could afford.
Gosh.
Well, then they should have come up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to blow something up, I want to see, like, fire and smoke and a really loud bang.
Yeah.
At least a loud bang.
They could get
everybody in the building to just take a pot with a spoon and hit it at the same time and make a really loud bang.
There you go.
That would be free. Just go down to the cafeteria and borrow some stuff.
makes total sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But before I forget, I do want to at least pimp my Twitter. If anybody wants to talk about Kim and Shane with me, I am happy to dish about all things Donovan. And you can find me on Twitter at Team Shane and Kim with and actually spelled out A-N-D.
Okay. That's Shane Kim. There you go, for all the Shane Kim fans. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to bring on Angela. I think it's Angela. Hi, Steph, AirTip 7-8. That's Angela?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
All right. Yep, we can hear you. What's up?
Hey, Angela. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How's everybody there? I appreciated what the caller just in front of me, Kim and Shane, I'm not sure what her name is, had said about the safe house. Well, that was awful. I mean, it was comical. I mean, it was comical, but it was not written to be comical.
Mm-hmm.
With Rafe and also and John, you know, it was just so over the top of everything. They said the part I loved the most, and actually when I had one of my girlfriends, I called her because I was laughing so hard because it was when they kept saying, well, you can't go, Rafe, until you show us about the system. And I mean, this is like anybody's home alarm system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody. Yeah, this was not some high power anything. It was just hysterical. Anyway, it was awful. It was so overdramatic, and it was just they were so serious about the whole thing, and it was just pitiful. And then I liked how Roman got to go up on the roof and I guess wave a magic wand so that helped them be able to use the walkie-talkies. Whatever magic occurred when he was able to do that. It was sad. I'm thrilled to death to see Shane on the show. I love Charles Shaughnessy, so I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks just with him regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'll tell you the honest truth, I can't even really talk very much about the safe house because every time it would come on, I'd fall asleep. So I actually fell asleep during the explosion. I didn't see the end. I fell asleep during it. So anyway, that kind of sums up my week with it overall. But like I said, I'm anxious to see something happen. I just haven't understood the safe house from the beginning. And I think I've got the concept, but it's just poorly executed. Just like the Alamania thing, why put people and why set up a scenario when you can't support and make it you know, if you don't have the special effects, if you don't have the things that you, you know, then don't come up with that kind of a story. Come up with a different kind of story. Because this is just kind of pitiful. And I kind of hate to see that set go. I don't want them to blow up that safe house. That was a nice set.
Yeah.
I always enjoy it. Yeah, and it's a big set. It's
I'd really
set.
Love a few of the characters. No,
oh, I know. And Rafe telling Carrie, I'm still not sure I understand why Carrie's at the safe house anyway. Like I said, I haven't been following it really, really closely.
I just want to give her a Valium. I mean, granted, I know you'd be upset if you thought you were going to blow up, but, I mean, I just was like, this is not, if you're not helping, you're hurting, Carrie. Go in another room, please.
But,
you know, but
exactly.
I was like, please give the girl, Marlena, do you have anything in your purse you could give her? Because she really needs to set up.
She should
well,
have
and,
a
you know,
syringe
you
in
know
there
what
somewhere.
What bugged me,
you know?
And I'm not even a safe fan. In fact, as you all know, I hate safe. I can't stand safe. But I have to admit, even I was a little offended that he's professing his undying love and affection for her when he's still technically married to Sammy, she's still technically
exactly.
married to Austin. And I'm like, okay, was this whole freaking bomb thing set up to, like, shove them together, like, to finally, for him to finally confess about Nicole, about him not being with Nicole and all this stuff? Because
well,
I
gotta
say,
that
ever
part.
Since, I gotta say, ever since they got, ever since Nicole and Rafe were in the picture together, I actually was enjoying him more as a character with her. And so now every time I see him with Carrie, not that I necessarily want him with anyone, but, you know, if he has to be with somebody, you know, now when I see him with Carrie, it just grates on my nerves like nothing. I just cannot stand it. And so I'm like, oh, great, you know. And so now they're professing their undying love for each other, and their whole family's watching, you know. And it's like, could you at least go in the other room if they're, you know, go in the kitchen somewhere that we don't have to see this, you know. But
I mean, it was right there in front of Marlena and John when they were. It was bizarre. It was just bizarre.
Yeah, because they're both married to other people. I mean, come on. I mean, technically speaking, Rafe is still married to Marlena's other sister, for crying out loud. You know. I mean, have a little bit of sensitivity here, you know, folks. You know, and it's just like, come on. I mean, that's her, you know, Bo and Hope are her aunt and uncle and stuff. I'm just like, oh. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you're about to get blown to bits, but I don't know. And what is it, whenever John's involved and there's a ticking time bomb, things never end well. I'm just saying.
And that's a fact.
Wiki Days, correct me if I'm wrong, but has there ever been a ticking time bomb that John's been involved in that has ended well?
No.
Honestly,
not much that John has been involved in has ended well, if you think about it.
Well, one positive thing this week, I was very excited. I'm very much still a Brady and Nicole fan.
Yes.
And I was thrilled to see the scene where Brady finally came to the hotel and told Nicole that he had, you know, however preposterous it was that he found out, but, you know, he said he had heard she'd been in the hospital. I think that was the supposition. I guess that was this week. And I was so encouraged by that because I still see such chemistry between those two characters.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just, they have just, I love Eric Martzoff. He has done such a good job, and it has been just totally unfair, the sorry storyline he's had for nine or 10 months. It's just
why
it's shameful.
Why is it the people we never want to see in bed together get all the naked screen time? I'm sorry, but why is that?
Well,
I don't know what,
so much better than that, period.
I don't actually know one single person, or married person for that matter, that likes Brady and Madison. Yet every time somebody's scrumping, it's them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it's insulting for you to have an actor, and really even Sarah Brown, you know, who really has not been utilized, and, you know, and I'm sorry she's going to leave, but, I mean, I don't like the character she's playing, but no one, and it was poorly, you know, conceived and written, but you know, it's just that especially for Eric Martzoff, who has been on the show, who has contributed so much, and and has so much potential, and people really, really like him. There's a lot of, I mean, he has a strong fan base, and to mm-hmm. put him in the most horrible storyline now for months and months and months, and to the point where, again, you know, what you read on Twitter, you know, obviously everybody's slanted because you kind of follow and listen to the people that you have mm-hmm. a common interest with. So, of course, most of the people that, I follow and listen to on Twitter are people that are very, you know, positive about Eric Martov. But, yeah, I've even been reading some things like, that would be a character that they could see going because they just really they don't like the character anymore. And it's just not fair. Just because the writers have not written for him does mm-hmm. not mean that the character, is not a valuable character. And the actor has done a superb job. I mean, to come in like he did and make it his own, I think he's just been, like I said, I obviously like him. But yeah. I'm thrilled that they at least showed
like
Brady and Nicole.
We finally get some John and Brady scenes a while back, and then they interrupt it for Alamania.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather see John. If I'm going to see John, I'd rather see him working with his son, who was perfectly cast as his son, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to work on building Basic Black than to have him off chasing some stupid egg with Hope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, the whole premise has been bad because because the scenes that they did do, they gave him with Drake Hogeson and Eric Martov, really, the dialogue was just ridiculous. I mean, I really wanted them to be together, but I frankly didn't want them to be arguing over clothes design.
I know.
I mean, that's just
that
silly.
Was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
so
odd.
Yeah, and then, put Brady in the ISA and have some, get him involved in anything. I'm still thankful that we have the new writing regime. I'm still holding out good, hopeful thoughts. And I really, like I said, it just concerns me to no end that someone as talented as Eric has been and as loyal as he's been to the show, he's done so many public appearances, and anytime he is very comfortable with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He is just very personable, so nice, can just talk about anything, and just make everybody feel at ease. So he's probably one of the best ambassadors that show's ever had in terms of personalities that have traveled and represented the show.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, I hope we see some more of Brady and Nicole because I was thankful to see it. I thought it was because I still think there's a lot of chemistry there.
I'm hearing some sounds. Anyone rattling something? You guys hear that?
I hear it,
but it's not me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just thought, in case somebody could hear that. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-mm.
So what were you saying, Angela? You just hope that he gets some good material and everything. Then
I do. I think I'm starting to hear the rustle again. I don't think it's me. So I'm sitting here completely still. But I don't know. I don't know what they've got planned. But I hope that Brady and Nicole are on. And I also hope that they soon reveal who are the next actors that are going to be let go. I would think that would happen before, they have the big event at the Paley Center on May the 9th. I would think that they would get most of that information on out, and just, and let's just be done with it. There's all kinds of rumors out there about different things, but you don't really know what's true and what's not. So,
mm-hmm.
I hope they keep Brady, and I hope that they put Brady and Nicole back together again or put them in some type of triangle.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see what they're going to do is what they're going to do.
Did you like the Sammy and EJ scenes?
I just want to add real quick about Eric Martsoff. I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, Tomlin is the one who hired him. So the way I look at it, I don't think there's going to be a problem with him staying on the show.
Yeah, him and Galen are safe.
He's
not one of
the ones I thought about.
The fact that he committed to the the June event, but at first he had
and
not
September.
Committed.
And
mm-hmm.
September. It came out this week so far. It's only Sean Christian and Eric Martsoff going to be in Boston in September for the Juvenile Diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah, so far that's all they confirmed. That's why I didn't put them on the blog yet. You know, it's only two people so far, but it's starting to finally trickle out who's going to be in Boston. So
yeah, well, I hope so. Like I said, I don't frankly, you know, Galen's not my favorite, but you know, like I said, I think he seems to ride through all storms. So we'll see. But I just feel the same way about Ariane Zucker. She has, you know, she is one of the best actresses on the show.
And the
storyline, and even there was humor in it. I can't remember who wrote that episode for the dialogue, but it was funny that you know because she started going through this, and I, you know, if this child was a Demira, I'll do whatever I have to make sure that it's not raised a Demira. And then you know they had Brady's character say something about, doesn't this really sound familiar? So and that's true. How many? You know, they just don't need. This is the storyline. I mean, we just, how many times are you going to repeat?
What did you think about? I thought it was funny when he and Kate had scenes at Common Ground about you know. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, you know, he's like. Planting, you know, he finally realized, I guess this was Brady's week of realization, that he realized Nicole was pregnant, he realized that Kate and Ian were together, I don't know, maybe he'd been asleep for a while, I don't know.
But, somebody splashed some water on him.
But I mean, am I the only one, maybe it's because I'm a diehard Kate fan, but am I the only one that's offended by the insinuation that Kate should have anything to worry about when it comes to Madison? I'm just like, please, I mean,
really?
Ugh. But anyway,
I'm just ready
whatever.
For it to be over with. I'm ready for that outfit. So ready for poor Sarah Brown in that pink top and that skirt. It's been weeks, and it's.
I think
it's
I've
horrible.
Maybe seen one outfit on her that I liked in the entire time she's been there. Maybe.
Well, the hot pink was bad this past week. Holy cow!
Oh, it's been on forever.
The hair was atrocious. You know, she actually looked really good when she was playing Zakara. Wasn't she a Zakara or something like that on
PH? Claudia Zakara.
Yeah, Claudia.
Yeah, she looked really good. I mean, I didn't watch the show, but I'd see clips here and there. I'd see a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But she looked really good, but she does not look good as Madison. This is not, I'm just thinking, I'm not buying it at all. And I'm thinking, like Jan just said Jennifer just said in the, chat room, Kate can wipe the floor with Madison. It's very true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that they wrote Kate to be insecure about that, I'm just like, now, granted, Ian may have something up his, I mean, I'm sure Ian has several things up his sleeve because they're writing him that way right now, but her being threatened by Madison as a love interest, I'm sorry, but if they go there, I'm going to be furious because that is not even something that, I mean, he doesn't even act like he really has any interest in Madison other than to mess with her, like, not in the, you know, naughty sense, but, like, he just seems to like to mess with her psychologically. He doesn't seem to actually care about her, but I don't know. But I'm glad that Ian was able to reassure her and, like, all that, but I was just thinking, really? And normal Kate would have been like, really, if you're that stupid, I don't want to waste my time with you, you know? I don't know.
Well, Sarah Brown is, you know, I think she's a very attractive person, and when she was on General Hospital many years ago as Carly, she was the original Carly, you know, her hair was more of a darker blonde, but it was a little bit shorter, and I really actually liked her hair. You know, it just seems like on Days of Our Lives, everybody has long hair, and a nice cut with a bob or something would not kill somebody. I don't, like I said, whatever they're going to do, they're going to, you know, obviously she doesn't have much time left, you know, but I think I'll still think a lot of Sarah Brown. I just think this Madison story is just been a mess from the beginning. I mean, why, if they wanted to go down this road with a strong female, which again, this is not what Madison turned out to be.
No, it turned out to be
use Nicole. Nicole was already there on the canvas.
Are there any females currently that are strong? Honestly, any of them? I mean, no.
They seem to like. For lack of a better word, emasculate all the women. Now, that doesn't make sense, I realize. But, I mean, it's like Kate's balls are gone. Nicole's balls are gone.
you know, whatever balls Madison came to town with are gone. Not to mention Gabby and Abby and, you know, Melanie's a show of her former character. I mean, I used to kind of enjoy Melanie, and I'm just like bored by her now. I don't even know.
Well, Kate is the one that is really the strongest character out of any of them. You know, again, I don't agree with her, you know, cooking, you know, deadly brownies and that type of thing. But again, you know, but she still, the character has always really been strong. And and you know, so for her to need Ian to whisk, you know, and save her and bring in a new wardrobe and protect her from the big bad world. You know, it's just ridiculous. And I think with the young girls, that's what concerns me. Because they do need to have a stronger story with some of the younger kids on the show.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, and I'm hoping that they are going to make some changes there. I think they are. But the reality is that, you know, I watched it as a young person. And I don't even think back then everybody's goal was to win over somebody else's boyfriend at all costs.
Going on. You know, some of them have a lot to go, you know, going for them. And Abby's story was good with the Looney Abby thing. She actually did a good job. Kate did a great job on that. She had a great
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and speaking of that, SJ, I know you're going to want to jump in on this one. I mean, that week that they had the kumbaya of everybody before they fired the writers, they just dropped the Looney Abby story. She's normal now. Now, I do like the guy. I do like Skylar Yancey. He's cute. But he seems like he can act. I like him, and he seems like he can act and everything. It seemed like, you know, I haven't seen, have we even seen Matt and Missy since the kumbaya?
They have not been on since their 15-second reunion on that Friday before the firing happened.
Awful.
But you will see them this week. They're in the group at the pub when everyone finds out that everyone, quote-unquote, died, so they get to gasp. I don't even think they have lines.
They're extras, basically?
Yeah, in the three months that they have filmed prior to the firings, Matt and Missy were not on very much. Matt had just posted on his Facebook page the week prior to getting fired that yes, he was still with the show, but that Jack's story had went down since the triangle ended. So I'm not sure, you know, how many times they filmed, but they did not film very much in that 3 months. Now I do believe that they are filming now. Matt is still filming. He's going to be filming for a couple months, I believe. I don't know an exact date, but I did get some information from the event last weekend. I wish I could have went and talked to him personally, but I couldn't make it, even though it was in Atlanta. I couldn't make it, which I'm kicking myself because it probably was the only time I'll ever get to meet him, but that's okay. But I did get some information that he's still filming, and the story is not going to be the typical Jack runs up on his family story. Don't know all the details, but Matt seems pretty happy with it.
So hopefully
it'll be better. And I think it is going to leave it open to where he can come back. And I believe Matt said in an interview when he won his award last week that they are leaving it open to where Jack can come back. So
good.
We figure as soon as the show tanks and, you know, next year they'll bring him for the end. They just dropped that. I mean, they had so much they could have done with Abby and her going loony.
Yeah.
And a lot of people on Twitter and I've read and I think we've even discussed on the show is they could have went to that, psycho, crazy, you know.
They could have really had a great mental health story. It didn't have wouldn't have had to have been preachy or anything, but it could have gone back to a shout out to Laura Horton, which would have really pulled in fans who really love the history of the show, all that. But no, you couldn't do that. Ugh. It's a shame.
Yeah. So
well, there's
I
still
don't
an opportunity.
Much-
yeah, there's still an opportunity for some more of the post-traumatic stress, and I hope that that is part of what they're going to kind of reprise, because I know I had tweeted, there was an excellent thing in the New York Times by Nicholas Kristof a couple of weeks ago talking about post-traumatic stress and brain injuries and so many things that could, you know, there was a huge follow-up on CNN. You know, if Dave really was focused on wanting to stay current with things, that would have been just an ideal story.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, was it NBC that pulled the plug on the post-traumatic story? Because it seemed like the writers wanted to do, and I'm not trying to defend them too much because they made some good things. They did some things that I liked and some things I didn't like. But don't you get the feeling NBC is the one that put the kibosh on that story?
Because
it seems like the writers seemed like they wanted to. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I think it's impossible for us to really know who did what. You know, at this point.
But it's obvious, though, when a writer comes up with a story like that, mm-hmm. And then when it stops, start, and then it's completely gone, that had something to do with NBC. It had to have. And I'm just thinking, why wouldn't they want to pursue that? I mean, no, we don't have to see a group therapy session once a week. But we could definitely build on a lot of the things that they did have, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I
agree with you. It's hard to know exactly who has a say in what.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest issue, yeah, besides just the writing overall and everything else, like I said, and just some strong leadership, period, on the show. Somebody
mm-hmm.
to say and stand up and say, we're going to do this or we're not, because I think that's one of the issues, is that there wasn't someone that felt strongly enough that they were in a position to be able to say, we're sticking with this or we're not.
Right.
Or, regardless.
Yeah, it's really choppy. Like, there's just things where you're going, okay, they're going to go this direction, and then all of a sudden it's done, and there's no other, you know, or then they pick up with it 3 months or 3 weeks later or something. It's just,
well, and that gets into the whole issue, which is the bane of my existence, is the whole three-month shooting schedule. I understand that they've got to shoot ahead. Every show shoots ahead, but you do not have to shoot 3 to 4 months ahead, because honestly, if you had a strong Bible and you had a strong show and everybody was
mm-hmm.
tuning in, that's one thing. But when it's never been that way now, we're like 22, 24 months, and you're still
mm-hmm.
shooting so far out, that's exactly what gives us this mess that we have, because then you have these stories that are endless. Where
mm-hmm.
absolutely nothing is going on. And then you have, like, Matt and Missy are the perfect example. Then you have the revelation, you know, and you have, you know, everything is resolved within 15 minutes after a dragging on of 6 months, and then you don't see them anymore. You know, so they wrap it up as soon as they can, but they're so far ahead, you know, that they can't. And you can't convince me either that they have not had to throw out some footage.
I think they've definitely dropped some footage. I know for a fact they have.
Matt tweeted something about some scene where he was talking to himself in a mirror or something that he was pretty proud of, and we've never seen that, and we never will. I think there is a lot of stuff that they dropped. I mean, I think they probably had big plans for his storyline, and they did kill it. And I don't even know if they had intentions of putting Jack and Jennifer back together on screen. It seemed like they were pretty pro Jennifer there for a while. But the feedback from the fans was, we don't want this. We want Jack and Jennifer. So they give it to us in a quickie reunion, but then they pull it right out from under us because we know we're losing Matt. So, I mean, are they going to keep them together? Is he going to – I mean, I kind of know what the story is, and I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I kind of know a little bit about it, but I can't tell you. But if Jack leaves, I'm not sure that Jennifer's going to know the reason behind it. I mean – what he's doing is going to be noble, but, you know, does Jennifer know? I don't know. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I forgot where I was going with that.
I hope they're not putting Jennifer and Daniel back together. Oh, God. Well,
I heard Nicole's
going to be in that next season or whatever.
I've heard Billy, I've heard Nicole, And
I don't think they're doing. I don't think they're doing Billy and Daniel, but I had heard Nicole and Daniel last week. Somebody mentioned that, and I think.
But I also heard that EJ and Nicole do get back together sometime this month, which we haven't got to EJ yet. But considering all his troubles, he's probably going to need his wife. So, once he probably talks to her and she realizes, they're probably going to go back there. I had a point I was trying to make, and I don't even remember it. Anyway, I'm mad. That's pretty much it. I'm mad.
Drop scene. You were talking about drop scenes or something like that, too.
I don't.
I feel there's a lot of potential. I think everybody knows that. I think everybody respects. Well, I say everyone. I think there are a lot of people that do respect Matt Ashford as an actor and what he has brought to the show. And it's just, it is a tremendous waste. I mean, there's been a lot of waste that has gone on. With him, I think it's just, very apparent. And I'm just happy that we do have Twitter and we do have some opportunities now, at least to communicate. And somehow, some way, it gets heard, at least, that they did start to understand and realize and whether they did the right actions based on that information.
That's where I was going. I was going to say that the fan feedback was that they didn't want Daniel with Jennifer. They want Jack with Jennifer. It's history. It's what the fans want. They realized it. They didn't give us a story, of course. They just threw them back together, and then they didn't have them on air for months. But now, they're going to do away with that. So what are they going to do with Jennifer? Are they going to throw her back in another pairing that's not going to work? They know that Jennifer can't be with anyone but Jack. They've tried it over and over and over again. It's not going to work. The fans are not going to accept it. But,
it's
a dead horse.
It's frustrating. I mean, I loved having the spectator. I could just see them living in that house, the Horton house, and, reprising the old set that was Tom's office. Again, this goes back a long time ago now, but, that could have been, like, their home office for their working, on the spectator stuff from home. And, there could have been a real, bow to some history and also continuing on with something new, and you can stay current that way because they're always going to be following a story and so forth. And it just, it's been a total snooze fest to think how many people got jobs over at the university that means
nothing. They
never showed
that, though. There was a scene where Jennifer said, I want to find out what EJ's up to, and Jack said, well, I'm going to help you. And, that sounded like that might have been something that they were going to throw them in there. They were going to investigate the Damaras or whatever was going on. But they dropped that, too. And a lot of people were tweeting, why wasn't Jack and Jennifer part of the whole thing? Why weren't they in the safe house? Because they've got Jeffo and Hope, a super couple in there. You've got John and Marlena, a super couple in there. You got Rafe and area. They're, I don't know what they are, but
I agree. I think you're absolutely right because first of all, the whole safe house thing, again, I think is another one of these, rabbit holes. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't think it's going to be memorable once we're finally done with this, and it'll just be another one of those things that we can kind of just move on from. But it's just a shame. Like I said, I think maybe they will bring some people back. You never know. Like I said, I'm pleased to hear at least that because this is just my own thoughts. Gord knows I don't know and they have any insight into what those folks are doing out in Burbank. But I do think that they need to get the show down to like a core 18 people, which they have talked about now for a couple of years, and then have some people in a recurring role.
I thought that what's his name? Corday said when the reboot back in September, core of 15
people. It's been discussed on and on, but it never has materialized. But I think that that's one of the things, if Comcast and Sony or whomever else is having a say now, they are going to have to get down to that. And so then, now of course, the logic would tell you, pick strong characters and strong actors to be the people that are on there, not mm-hmm. just, you know, folks that are, you know, just, I like Skylar Yancey. I think he's a good actor. I think he has a lot of potential with that. I hope they keep him on the show. But, people know pretty much who they're really interested in. And that's why, mm-hmm. Again, I like Sean Christian. I think that he's very personable. I've met him a couple of times. I think that he's a good actor. I think he's done a lot of good things on other programs and movies and stuff. But the reality is I just don't think he's ever hunted down. I know there are fans, but I don't know that he has a overpowering fan base of folks that are just lined up that have really enjoyed him as Daniel.
That fan base is huge. In fact, you want them on your side because they are huge.
Are they?
But I don't know that Daniel has a big following, but Daniel and Chloe do.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Nadia comes back. I mean, of course, there are lots of rumors out there. So I guess we'll just kind of wait and see how it all materializes. But I do think that but to keep wish washing with who Daniel is, they need to decide what his profile is and then move forward. Hope that he's
well,
not going to become.
Well, they've decided he's a perv that hits on his patients. I mean, that's why people don't like Daniel. One of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
At least he hasn't made an actual grope on Nicole yet.
Oh, he will.
I know.
Give him time. They did that, though. Don't you remember years ago when they did, had them over at the pub. At first time, it was kind of like you could tell they were doing some type of chemistry test.
Yeah.
Oh, it was when they had Victor's dinner. He was new to town, and he had dinner at Victor's, and it was all these women, and he was hitting on Kate, he was hitting on Chelsea, he was hitting on Nicole, he was like the surfer dude. Remember, that was when he first came to town. I was like, oh.
Hey, can we bring Marianne on? Marianne?
Oh, great.
There she is.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hi there.
Hey. Yeah,
are you dancing on tables yet?
Oh, no. Doing all right. Having a good time, though. Yeah, having a good time. Yeah, we just got back, and my daughter and her boyfriend and their friends, they're still down there. You know, they're still out having fun. So we kind of let them alone a little bit. So we came back. So I thought I'd give you guys a call. So I was hearing you were talking about characters. Which ones? We were discussing which ones you want to see leave. If they got down to, like, so many. Is that what you were discussing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I came in on, talking about, like, so many core characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is there talk of that, or is that what?
Angela's talking about it. I have no idea
okay. Oh, it was just you discussing
just,
it. Okay. You were just trying to give them an idea. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
But I think we had already said, this has been discussed. This is not some new concept that's been thrown out there. This is something that's been discussed for a long time. And, it looks like that, if in fact they really are going to whittle down, then, they're finally going to get down to that core 18 and then maybe try to use more people recurring, which makes sense. But then, of course, there's the whole issue of who those characters are. And, I do think that's all. But again, it's not any big scoop or story. It's just I was just throwing out there.
Did you guys talk about Peter Reckold? Did anything more come out on Sam Walford Digest? Because I haven't been online or seen. There's supposed to be an article out or something Friday or something.
Yeah,
I think it's also kind of rumorish, isn't it?
I guess Peter's was during the rumor, and yes, he told everybody he's leaving, that he and his wife want to move out of California. But it sounds like Days One has him take another pay cut, and he just took one last year or so, and that's part of the sticking point. He's actually talking about leaving the state. So,
his contract's not up until July. So, if they are throwing this out as a negotiation point, there's still some time to, work something out. Anytime somebody throws something out like that this early, you kind of wonder. But I said earlier, May 9th, that event at the Paley Center, I may be really thinking this is going to be something that's will turn out to be a nothing, but I really feel like that that's going to be a key event where they're either going to, you know, really say who's retiring, who may be stepping down, whatever. And then I'm hoping that they're going to do what we said they need to do last summer, which is to have some type of roundtable discussion and have Gary Tomlin there, have whoever is really going to be in kind of the showrunner role. I don't care what their title is, but the person that's truly going to be the showrunner, which I think is Gary.
Is there going to be a live event on that?
It's what everyone's afraid of now.
Well, I'm not as afraid, you know, I'm not as afraid as everybody else of Gary. So I guess I got negative Twitter. I know that's not a positive thing for me to say because I get a bunch of ugliness on Twitter about it. But still,
do you guys know? You know, are they going to do like a live feed on that Paley Center thing?
I don't know if they'll do. They did a Ustream when they did the last one,
right?
So I would think they are, and I just feel like there's no reason for them to have done that event again this year if they're not going to either make some major announcements about the long term situation with the show, or at least, you know, the leadership with the show and who's retiring and what they're going to. I just don't think that's just going to be just another, you know, event. It could turn out to be an absolute nothing, and then I'll build this thing up to really be something that it's not. But that's something they could utilize as a positive to kind of rally the fans and the people that care about the show and to actually have some type of interaction with them. So I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're using it for or not. Like I said, if circumstances were different, I would probably go. But,
I didn't realize it was supposed to be. I thought it was just going to be like a panel discussion about Will's story. I didn't realize it was going to be like an event.
I don't think it's going to be that because they're not going to.
Can I ask what you're talking
story.
About? I must have missed something. What kind of event?
Well, I know Lauren Coslow is going to be at it. It's like a May 9th. It's some sort of event at the was it the Paley Center? Is that right?
Yeah. They used to be called the Television Arts and Sciences out in California. Now it's
that's right.
Is it not a fan event? It's more a business event, or
no? It's a ten. They're selling tickets. They're $10 a piece, and so it could be. And this is the same place that they had the sort of initial announcement and kickoff to the 46th anniversary of AIDS. They did an event, and at that time it was. It really wasn't open to the public so much. They had an area for the people to just stand outside, but it was primarily when they did a Ustream of it, and they had they brought back to have a panel of the villains, and they had a panel of the heroes, and the panel of, you know, that's the way they had this terrible.
But yeah, that's what they did at the party.
Allison Sweeney's hosting this one. Before, they had somebody come from an NBC affiliate in, I don't know, Michigan somewhere, and he didn't even know the show. So, yeah, obviously Allie's going to be hosting it. I don't get the sense that it's really going to be about Will, simply because that's clearly not going to be a lead story going forward. It's not that it's not going to be a story, because it will be. They're not going to completely drop it. But it's not going to be their A story. I mean, Greg Ming has already said that. And so there's enough dissension about it anyway that I don't think that they would have an event to discuss it. They've already had the other events with specific core groups about the storyline and so forth. So I don't see why they would do that again. I think this is broader. I think that May 9th thing is broader for the show. But again, I may be wrong. I may be reading more into it or thinking that they could use it. I know they could use it as a springboard to get the show, you know, to get people back on board with it. Because, I mean, they really need to. I'm very concerned about 2 weeks dark in August. With the Olympics, I know that whatever they're rewriting, there'll be some things in July, and August, and with the cliffhanger, and I hope it's strong. Because seriously, it will be very easy to lose a lot of people in those 2 weeks.
There won't be a cliffhanger.
And plus, just the number of people that there's folks that care about the show that are on the show, you know, week to week, that are not watching it. Because, you know, and, you know, you can't blame them. And I know, like I said, last summer, I was so aggravated last summer, and I watched simply because to support the show. Because, you know, I hated the Chloe story. I hated the ending for Carly. I hated the what a waste with Louise Sorrell and that whole foolishness. You know, they should have just put the people last June on a bus that were leaving the show and skipped telling those terrible tales. And we sat there and suffered through it June, July, August, really into September, you know, the end stories for all those characters. And it was horrible. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not doing that this summer again. I mean, I will stop watching for a while, and if that's what they're going to do, is that, you know, if we're going to have a bunch of just fill-in mess that you know is going to just, you know, be washed away in the next month. I don't know. Like I said, I still get kind of fired up about that. But I think it's there's a lot of positive that can come from the May 9th event. Hope that's what that's going to be. I'm anxious to see. If I had the wherewithal right now, I probably would go to the May 9th event, but we'll see.
Are all the actors going to be there, or just certain ones?
They've only announced certain ones right now. I really do think, though, it's going to depend upon who they're bringing back, because I think they are going to bring back some folks. And, I don't know this for sure, but I would think that there are going to be some major announcements about restructuring for the show, and I think that's going to be with them.
They're going younger. From what I've heard.
Of course.
Do you want to know what I've heard?
Go ahead.
I don't know how accurate it is, but I've heard Belle and Sean return, Mimi returns, Rex returns. I don't know how accurate that is. I would believe Belle and Sean. I could care less about any of that.
Belle and Sean maybe, but I'd Mimi and Rex.
They're going to
remember Rex, huh? Rex, and is it going to be? Is Rex going to be Roman?
Another Kate Child. Well, I think the reason they're talking about again, I still think all of this is at a rumor level. I don't think we really know for sure, but it's definitely been a solid. It's been discussed a lot, and I think what they're trying to do too, which I do think is a smart move, which Days has not done so far, is to really bring some actors that were popular on One Life to Live, and so Farrah Fath and Jean-Paul Lavoisier that played Gigi and Rex.
I couldn't stand Mimi, though. I could not stand Mimi.
But that's a horrible idea, in my opinion.
Well, I hope they don't know
what they're going to write, and I was not, back in 1999, and I certainly was not a teenager in 1999, that was probably the best younger group that they had. Maybe if they had built them as legacy characters then versus just letting them go away.
I didn't mind the first Belle and Sean.
I am a big emotional shell.
I like them, though,
But we don't really know. We don't know yet exactly who or what.
That doesn't mean I want them back, though, but, yeah.
We know nothing, isn't it fun to speculate?
Yeah, it is. It is, and I would really like to see them bring Eric Brady back, Sammy's brother, and have Mark Austin, who was on One Life to Live. He's a good actor, real handsome young guy, you know, blonde, just, you know, I think he would be an excellent Eric, and that could be a good story too. And tell some different stories. Tell a story with Nicole and Eric and Brady, you know, I mean, that would be a good, let's tell something different. Let's not tell an iteration of anything that we've already seen before, because that's the main thing with me right now. It's so frustrating to me. I don't want anything to happen to Nicole's baby now. That whole story is just very disturbing to me because, you know, she wants a child, but yeah, they're really not writing the character well. So you just, you know, you want to root for her to have the child, but yet then again, you think.
I hate the whole idea of hiding a baby again from EJ. It's the same story, only you're using a different woman.
It's the same rehash, and now it's
Rafe again being the hero and helping her instead of it was Sammy before. Mm. It's always about
that's
Rafe.
That point that you just said right there is why I still don't.
It's the same storyline.
Yeah, I don't think Nicole and Rafe long term will work because ultimately it's going to be the same issue that they had with.
I just like them short term. I wouldn't think of them as a long term pairing, but I like them together, like short term. I'd want Bricole back together, but
yeah.
I prefer Brady and Nicole.
Marianne, you wanted to talk about EJ and Stefano. We haven't covered that
EJ
at all
and Stefano?
Yet, really.
Oh, you didn't cover that at all? Oh, about Tony, all the Tony mentions. Yes, but the whole thing. Well, I just it just makes me so angry when this character. I mean, how Stefano is doesn't think EJ, because he's not a blood Demira, is not his son. It's like he's disowning him. I mean, mm-hmm. and anybody what's that saying for people that are adopted or foster kids or. Mm-hmm. Then your parents, all of a sudden, when you find out that you're not blood, that you're not good enough to run the family, you're not good enough to be in the family. I hate that. Where do these people get this idea?
Maybe he knows who his father is, and that's the problem, and he's not going to tell him, but maybe that's where it's coming from, because
I don't like it either. And Stefano was never like that. He wasn't like that with Tony, and EJ brought that up. He said, what about Tony? When he found out, what'd he do to Tony, put him on an island. I mean, he did treat Tony rotten after he found out. He did. I guess he did treat him good. But then I guess they made amends, and then they, and sometimes I'm not even sure, is Tony Stefano? First he was, then he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't. It has gone back and forth with Tony, too. So
I don't like the story either, but it disturbs me. But the one thing I have read, and again, there's so many rumors out there. That's why I really would like for them to kind of go ahead and let's kind of set the stage for something, versus so that we're not all frustrated and worrying.
And Stefano knows who the father is, and that's what's making him.
Yeah, I think
so
that
bitter
still,
like that.
I guess
I don't know. But I'm hoping they're going to fix all that, and it's going to be, hey, I'm a mistake. Yeah. I really am.
Exactly.
I really are. It's Mayor and Stefano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think it's fundamental to the character of EJ that he is a Demira, and for them to go back now and touch all that is just foolish. And so
he's still a Demira, whether he's blood or not. He still is.
Exactly.
He was great, same as Tony. Whether he was.
Yeah, but don't make him Hope and John's child. I mean, so help me, if that all starts again, I'm just gonna, I will explode, because that is so foolish, and like I said, what Christian Alfonso is 2 years older than I am. I've been watching that show a long time, and there's no, somebody said to me not too long ago, they're gonna just say that Hope is 56. Thinking, there's no way Hope is 56. I know I'm not 56. I enjoy EJ very much, and I really don't like the idea of thinking about that.
I could never thought they were going to go there with Hope and John with EJ. That just doesn't even, I don't know. I'm not too worried about that, but
I think that was really considered at one point, and I'm hoping that even though there may be, because again, just what Marianne is talking about is just right, just right on, because it doesn't, it's contrary to Stefano's character. The only thing I can think about when all of this gets said and done with Stefano is that, what if he does know that he is dying again, for real this time? And he is trying, it turns out that, he knows the heart of EJ, because EJ really, is never going to be 100%, take no prisoners. To me, that's just not the EJ character. I think he's always going to be very torn, about what's right and what's wrong. And possibly Stefano is doing this so that he'll have an opportunity in the community to do something, that, is positive. That would be if Joe Mascola was going to retire and, Stefano was really going to go on and they were going to bring Tony back. Yeah, there's a lot of things
that
could
do. Well, that's another
thing.
This is a good time to bring Tony back. Just want to put that out there. Yes.
It's a fantastic time to bring Tony back.
There's been so many good times over the year, but this is really a good time with everything that's going on with the Demiras, with Lexi, with EJ, with Stefano. Perfect time.
If they don't do it, I'll be surprised. If they don't do it this time, I will be surprised. But I think this is the ideal time for that. But that's the only story I can come up with that I can even swallow with Stefano. It just, because otherwise it doesn't, Kristen and what's his name that
Peter.
Blake Peter. Yeah, I never can remember that character's name. But you know, yeah, they were not his blood children. Yeah, it just
does not make any sense. Yeah. He accepted them into the family and It's just like they're writing it wrong or the way he's explaining it to him.
No, because
you know.
Then all of a sudden he's not going to care about Johnny anymore.
When EJ said something to him, he says, well, what about Tony? He said, well, I raised Tony from a baby or something. I guess because he didn't raise EJ. But he was, I thought he did.
EJ?
He raised him so far, didn't he? Not as a baby up so far. As a young boy, I thought he took him then or something. I don't know.
When the baby was first born, you know, in 98 or so, whenever it was, and they had this hysterical scenes, which I wish they've taken off of YouTube, that had Kate, Sammy, and Marlena all holding EJ and cooing and all this kind of stuff in 1998.
Uh-huh.
It's classic when you think about what transpired with Kate and Sammy and EJ later in 12 years' time.
Yeah.
I'm losing my train of thought now, but I just think that they need to this is part of a story that needs to be reversed. I will say, you know, it makes for good scenes with, you know, if you put Joe Mascola and James Scott in scenes, you're going to get some good, you know, you're going to get some, you know, interesting, you know, interaction regardless.
And they were great scenes, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's something a lot of people have said, too, is that, this does make for a good story, regardless of whether we really like it. And it may not last, you know, because maybe we'll find out that this whole thing was a ruse to begin with. I think also it still goes back to the issue of the Alice story, which is that, you know, Alice would not have known all this type of information, kept it quiet.
No.
I mean, it's just, and there's no need to go back and ruin a character that's so beloved on the show and is a
I think EJ wish. Yeah, EJ was shocked when Stefano said Alice Horton. He kind of got this look on his face like, Alice Horton, you know, do this all the time. Yeah. Really?
Hey, guys, I need to get Sabina on. Sorry, she's been on hold for a while. Hey, Sabina.
Hi.
There she is.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm tired, but I'm here.
Do you want to talk to us about Atlanta?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Do you want to talk to us about Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, Atlanta. Yeah, I was wondering if you had any specific questions. I'm going to be kind of scattered. I'm trying to keep everything fresh in my head, and it's just, I mean, it's already been a week since Atlanta. I just can't believe it.
I have a question.
Okay.
What did Matt say? That's what I want to know. What did Matthew Ashford say?
During the Q&A, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, did he give any information on anything that you heard? Did you talk to him? Did you hear anything?
No, the only thing he said, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, he said he's filming through the end of May, I think is when he's done.
Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't give any, none of them gave anything. They were definitely asked questions, and they're like, yeah, we can't talk. They all said that they can't, they don't know what's ahead, like far ahead, or even, I think, as far as 2-3 weeks ahead. They only know what's kind of
there.
Yeah,
they just get their scripts like a week ahead or so, a week or two, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Especially right now, I would imagine that it'd be a little crazy right now with the change in writers and everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely they said that right now is a little crazy and they're definitely in the dark more than you think and they can't, they don't have any information to tell us even if they could. So, I guess if there are specific questions you have, because I can't remember everything they talked about in the Q&A, I'm wanting to get with some of the other Twitter friends of mine that I met that may remember more than I did or whatever. There are actually some videos up on YouTube. I can't remember who posted them, but I saw some videos up the Q&A that were not supposed to really be recorded. they were, I was told specifically that you weren't supposed to do any video recording during the Q&A,
right.
But I saw that some people did sneak some in.
Ooh.
So if you want to search, I think if you search Atlanta Q&A, you'll find it pretty easily. I have done videos, and I have three of them posted. I have Sean Christian, Eric Martzoff, and Galen Gehring's little mini Q&A videos that I did. I have three more to post. They take a long time, so I'm going to try to do some tomorrow. I didn't do one with Judy Evans because she actually had laryngitis. She had trouble talking to begin with, poor thing. But she was a trooper. She was one of the last ones to leave the cocktail party at the very end when they scooped all of them up. The only ones left standing were her, Wally, Eric, and Sean. And we got to dance for about an hour with Eric and Sean. It was awesome. I've heard of other events where they were dancing, like, all night. And that was, I think, in Charlotte, that event that they used to do in Charlotte, but they don't...
Greenville.
They've ended.
I think it's in Greenville.
Yeah, that's it, Greenville. But, so, at the very last hour, they pumped up the music, and we all started dancing, and Sean and Eric are very good dancers. They really can move their hips. I even told Eric he needs to be on Dancing with the Stars, and he's like, no way. He laughed at... I don't know. He just thought it was crazy. But Eric is a big ham. He is such a ham. He is such an entertainer. He would do really well in a musical, I think. Because I know he can sing and he can dance. And he loves to perform and show off. So, and then Sean is just as sweet as pie. You know, his smile, and he's even more handsome in person. His smile is very warm and endearing, and he's just the sweetest. I really don't feel like I think I talked to Matt and Wally the most, and Judy. I did talk to Eric and Sean more in the cocktail party, and then Galen, he's just, I don't know, he's crazy. He did not want to do the video. He made it seem like he didn't want to do the video Q&A with me. He just, I don't know, he acted like the questions were all very hard. And if you watch the video I posted, you see, I mean, I didn't edit anything out. There wasn't really much to it. So, and I don't know how to edit, so it just is what it is. So, but he just was like, yeah, these are tough questions. And you hear me saying, these are supposed to be fun. And he very sarcastically said, yeah, real fun. Like, he was not having a fun time. And I don't know how to read him very well. But Judy Evans is as sweet as you can even imagine. She's just very, very down to earth, very, you know, very good listener. I mean, because she was having a hard enough time talking, so I did most of the talking when I visited with her, and she just stood there and listened very intently with a very big smile, and was just very sweet. So I really enjoyed meeting her. She's really, really tiny. She's really small, and she's about my height. I'm 5'6", but she just seems so petite. And slim and trim, and she just looks really good, you know. And let's see. Oh, Matt Ashford. Oh, he is a sweetheart. Actually, the kickoff party on the Friday night was just mingling with all the fans and the organizers of the event. But it said that the actors could pop in, and the only two actors that did pop in were Matt and Wally. And it was funny because Matt just showed up in there, and we were like, I guess we were all mingling, and we didn't notice, and then we noticed him. But when Wally walked in, everybody was clapping, like he had an entrance or whatever. And it was just funny, but they were both very sweet that night. We got to really just hang out and kind of talk to them a little bit on a different level. even different from the cocktail party, I think, somewhat. But it was funny because Wally, I don't know how many of you actually saw the picture of Wally tweeted. He took a picture of a big group of us, and I was in it, and a bunch of the Twitter friends that I'd met, and he tweeted it out to everybody saying, we're having a great time in Atlanta, or whatever. I don't even remember what it said. And then he told me that he was not very good on Twitter, and I guess that's why he doesn't tweet very much. And I told him, well, I can help you with that. I can teach you a few things. And he said, sure, you know, like, so I did do that on Saturday night at the cocktail party. At one point, he just pulled out his phone, and I just started showing him different things. I'm not sure if that helped, but hopefully it did.
You're talking about Wally, right?
Yes, yes.
He is really sweet. I met him at an event one time, and, you know, he and the person I was with, one of the people that I was with, we talked to him for quite a while, and he is just very down to earth and very friendly and nice, and he sincerely wanted to get our feedback on some ideas that he had and stuff, and he was really especially picking my friend's brain over some ideas that he had, because she was familiar with the books that he was referring to. So anyway, I don't know, it was just really, so I could totally see that.
Yeah, he's definitely, he actually, in the little Q&A that I did video, I asked him what was, and you'll see this, but I asked him what his hidden talent is. And it was an odd answer to me. It didn't sound like a hidden talent, and not a talent necessarily. But he said that he's really good in crowds of strangers. He's very comfortable just mingling with strangers.
Yeah.
And so he's like, that helps in these situations, and it definitely does. And I think to a certain degree, he's probably, him and maybe even Judy are probably the best at that. With maybe Patrick as well in there. I mean, I haven't really hung out with him, but he did seem, you know, when I met him back in August, that he seemed similar to that too. So, but yeah, Wally was super. He had, you know, they were doing drink cards for the actors so that they could get their drinks for free. It was just. But he's like, I don't need these because I've got a bottle of wine back there. So he gave me a couple, and I got to use one. So I had this really nice, fruity, sweet drink that was really good. The bartender was like, it was his concoction. And at one point, you know, I'm standing there with my drink, and Wally takes it out of my hand. I'm like, what do you want with my drink? he was wanting a sip of my drink. So he took a sip of my drink. And out of the glass, I was drinking out of a straw. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And then thought about it later. I was like, man, I should have gotten a picture of that. But, no, it was lots of fun. What else can I tell you? It was very well organized, the whole event. It was very seamless from event to event. The autograph signing was great. The lines seemed to move quickly, but then Matthew actually was awesome. He worked the line instead of sitting at a table. He walked, he mainly stood in one spot, but he kind of worked. He was kind of like a director of the line, moving it along kind of in a way. And he just stood there to get the pictures and the autographs. So it made it seem a lot less difficult, or, you know, a lot less time-consuming sitting there waiting in the line to go through to see all of them and get the autographs and the pictures. So he that was his idea, too. That was like, I'm going to do this way. And instead of sitting at a table, and the tables were basically set up at two to a table, and then they were separated with gaps, so that you could actually get in there and get back there and take pictures. So they did it better, even better than the one I went to in August, where they were all at one big long table put together. It's like, okay, I guess I gotta lean over the table and get a picture. So it was very well done. I don't know if any one of you saw the Julia Denton on there as a special guest. I found out who she is. I didn't know, and I think most people there didn't know. She actually was in a movie. I can't think of the movie's title at the moment. She was in a movie with Matthew Ashford. It has not come out yet, but I think it's set to release in about a month or so. I'm not,
Catch of a Lifetime?
When. Yes, that's it.
Catch of a Lifetime. Yeah.
Yep. And it has not released yet, but the director of that movie and his brother, who also worked on that movie and works on various movies with this director, was actually there at the event as well. Very nice guys. Nick is the director, and then his brother is Mike. I got to chat them up quite a bit too, and they were super sweet because Matthew is actually getting ready to go down to Florida and film a movie with them as well as Julia Denton in, I think it's August that they're going to start filming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know the name of it. I don't know any details. I just know that there is a movie that he's going to be working on. So he has something lined up for after, we've done our days.
Yeah, that's very good news. I'm very happy to hear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting. There was actually an auction for a walk-on role in that movie. And
cool.
I actually met the person that won won the auction was somebody I met. She is on Twitter, and I met her. She came up to me and recognized me from Twitter, and I was like, I don't quite remember you, but I will remember you now, kind of thing. So she's become a friend of mine, and then I found out, and she was the one who won it, and it went for $5,000.
Holy
cow. Wow.
That's what it went up to. So it was amazing. So she's going to have a walk-on role, and I think she's also going to get to, play opposite Matthew. And the director was up there when they were doing the auction, and Matthew seemed like he was an auctioneer in a past life because he was up there and doing the auctioneer ramble like nobody's business. He was the best one, with the auctioning. So he was up there doing the auction for this movie role, this walk-on role, and then the director kept cutting in. And it was so funny because Matthew would be, stumbling, and then, when he got interrupted, but it was kind of like a play-on thing. And so the director, Nick, would chime in and be like, yeah, you're going to be treated like royalty and all these different things, all these enticements, to get you to to get everybody to bid, and I guess it worked. But yeah, that was during the Q&A. They had a whole bunch of things they did auction off. That was one. And then they all were wearing these really nice jackets and hats, which they auctioned those off right off their back, and they actually had their names sewn in to the sleeves. So, and then they signed them after the person won them. And then they had coffee mugs they were drinking out of that they auctioned off as well. they were auctioning all these things off, that they came walking in with. And it's like, well, I guess they don't get to go home with anything. So that was a lot of fun, the auction. And then let's see. Oh, and after the... It was after the autograph session, they did another special feature, which was only sold 18 or 19 tickets to do this, which you could go and have your picture taken by a professional photographer with the whole entire cast of actors that were there. And I went ahead and did that. So I might be tweeting it out sometime soon, but I have that picture. And I went ahead and did that. That was awesome. So, while we waited for the rest of the line to finish filtering through, so some of the actors that were finished came and waited around. It was outside on some stairs. And we just kind of hung out with them and talked and chatted and had a blast. Matthew was the first one because he was done with the line well before, any of the others. So he was the first one that they took out of there and got away from all the rest of them so that he'd be ready for the picture. So that was a fun thing. And then the cocktail party was amazing. It was just basically mingling in a party, just talking with everybody and, all the actors. And at one point, Galen had this big round table. I mean, it literally was a round table discussion because there was everybody, and it was all of his Galen safe fans. Were there and
kind of huddled around this table, and he just had a big, long discussion with them, and I have no clue what they talked about because I was too busy hopping around from actor to actor getting the videos and pictures and talking with my Twitter friends. So I really want to talk to I know some of the people that were in on that I'm going to talk to and find out what they talked about. I'm curious.
Right.
You know.
Because people were saying that Galen was saying that Christy Clark is coming back to the show. I was wondering if that was when that rumor got started.
I've heard these rumors. I have no idea if they're true. I'm not sure. I have heard that it's possible that she could come back sooner than even Patrick. But that's why I'm working even harder on Patrick to get him back. Because I want him to come back too. So, mm-hmm.
Well, campaigning can't hurt. I mean, you know, we're still campaigning for Matt. I mean,
right.
It can't hurt. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it
so,
up.
So, I'm doing every day. I try to help out with Matt, and I do want Teo to come back. I'm not trying to change subjects, but I was hearing you guys. I'm hoping that they bring Teo as well and bring Tony back because I love that character. And, of course, the actor that plays it. If they bring Tony back, they have to bring Teo. They can't bring some other Tony.
No way.
But
they would never do that.
Oh, hell no. That wouldn't happen. There'd be riots in the streets. You can't do that.
Right?
Let's
yeah, that ain't happening.
So, any other questions about the Atlanta event? Like I said, it was a blast. And I'm going out to L.A. in less than a month. They've got the next DCE Days charity event is the karaoke with the actors. Patrick
mm-hmm.
is slated to be there as well as Christy, actually. And Sean and Judy and Galen and Eric,
mm-hmm.
as far as I remember, are all supposed to be at the karaoke in L.A. So I'll be there. I'm also going to the Brady Soiree. That's going to be Christian Alfonso and Peter Reckel. And I'm not sure all of what's taking place because there's a lot of surprises going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a Twitter friend that's mm-hmm. helping out with that as well. And she has said this is going to be a blast. You can't miss it. And there's going to be all these surprises. And, of course, you won't tell what they are. So I don't know. I'm going to go and be surprised, I guess. And I think those are the only two.
Are you doing that Samantha and Friends event too? What's going on with that? Because I haven't heard
anything. That's on Saturday morning.
It's going to be on Saturday morning, and then they have the FLCE in the afternoon. I think they're calling it. It used to be called an afternoon in Salem. I think it's a day in Salem or whatever now because they tried to kind of the two groups have come together.
They're not doing it at Henry's Hap this year, are they? For the Samantha?
No, they're going to do everything at the Sheraton. I think it's all going to be at the Sheraton.
Okay. Yeah, they kind of combined those two events.
Okay.
They kind of joined forces this time, which there's some people that aren't happy about that. But I don't think I'm going to get to go to that. I'm kind of limited on what I can get to. I'm just lucky I'm getting out there.
Yeah. You'll have a great time. I know. I went to the Samantha's Friends event in 2010, and I still kind of wonder whether it was going to be very organized and how it would really work. But honestly, that was probably my favorite event that I went to when I was there, and so I think it'll be very good, and I think the folks that organized, like Erica Croce that did the DCE event in Atlanta, when she's involved in something, it always is very organized and great. And
you're talking about the Forbidden Love one?
No, I'm talking about the one that been in Atlanta this past week.
I don't think she's involved in the Samantha's Friends. That's actually Martha Madison started that a little bit with a friend of hers, actually.
Yeah, that's. I guess I'm just kind of confusing the situation. I'm just saying that I think that Erica did a great job in Atlanta organizing things.
Yeah.
She's been really involved in the DCE, anything that she's involved with, whether it be the Boston event or Atlanta or Dallas, whatever it happened to be.
that's always well organized. The Samantha's Friends event that I attended was also extremely fun and well organized, and it was a little bit more complicated to make it such. And then the event with the FLCE that I went to 2 years ago too was very organized. So I think they're all very good charities too that the money goes to.
Right.
And the Brady event will be really fun, I think. And I think there will be lots of good surprises for folks at that as well. So, and then they do have, I guess there's a Sean Christian event too with Molly Burnett.
Yeah, the cruise.
They have some type of discount if you're going to the Samantha Friends and the FLCE event on Saturday and you buy a ticket for that, then you get a discount off if you wanted to go on to the cruise event the night before. There's some fairly big discount engaged with that. It's all online.
Yeah, and then the karaoke is the DCE, and that's on the Saturday night. So they've got it all set up.
Oh, that's
Friday. All of it. Pretty much. No, it's Saturday night. Friday night is the Brady Soiree. Well, the Brady Soiree started as a boat something. I forgot what it was called before, but it started out being on Saturday afternoon.
The Brady Boat. Okay.
They changed it.
Okay.
Yeah,
they moved it
because of all the other events on the Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Gotcha.
So.
Saturday is always the toughest day, I think, out of that weekend because it starts early and it goes all day.
Yeah.
You get to the evening event, everybody got to sleep. At least I was tired, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That was kind of like what happened with Atlanta that whole day because it was, it didn't start till 10 a.m., but, you had to get up early enough to get ready and then go to the first event and then the next one and then the last one didn't end till midnight. And then I tell you, there was some partying going on even after that, like right outside the hotel, like out back or something. I think some of the actors stayed up partying. But I don't know which ones. I know, like I said, Matthew and Galen kind of snuck out early. Matthew was a little a little bit on the drunk side, so he had to go sleep it off. Because they actually had production meetings for the movie that they're going to shoot down in Florida. That was part of why the director, his brother, and some other folks that were actually here to go to those meetings. And I think Matthew was here on Thursday. He got in on Thursday. Before Friday, so he was here a day early, so they could do some extra meetings and stuff. So they used it as a working trip as well.
Okay, we also have any
other
questions? Any for Sabina?
No.
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 Thank you.
Great to hear about it. Well, you're welcome.
It was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm still on cloud nine. I don't think I'm ever going to come back down.
Aww,
I don't think I'm ever going to come back down to Earth. I'm hoping within the next few days I've got all my pictures printed so I can get them in my scrapbook. Because I did take my scrapbook and I got my autographs put in my scrapbook. And then I have my event from August and when I met Christian Alfonso back in November, as well as way back when I met Allison Sweeney in 2008, I think. Oh, I can't remember when I met her, but it was not even a day's event. It was just a health and fitness expo here in Atlanta that she came to. I was like, oh, I'm going. It was free, and I was like, I want to meet her, so I went and she was super sweet, but I don't remember much about what I said or what she said to me because it was so long ago and I didn't write anything down. So, but I do remember how sweet she was, and I do have my picture of us. So I have my scrapbook. I will have that out in LA with me, hoping to get some other autographs in it and show it off because that's something I'm really proud of. I do a lot of scrapbooking. So this is my Days of Our Lives book of who I've met, and all my events. So I've got to get working on that because it has to be done before I go on the 31st of this month to L.A. So, but I guess if that's it, I will go ahead and go and let you ladies finish up. I've got to get inside and get ready for bed.
Oh, I bet.
Well, thanks.
Yes,
thanks for calling, Sabina. You're welcome. I look forward to any other interviews that we have coming up in the future.
Yeah. We'll let you know.
All right. Talk to you ladies later.
Bye. Thanks,
Bye.
Sabina.
Bye.
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 I got a tweet from the Gay of Days, and they wanted me to mention on May 15th, Will's probably going to come out to Sammy.
Oh!
So I went, yes. There's something to look forward to. During May sweeps.
Yeah, that story was so good, and now it's been non-existent for the last few weeks. Where did it go?
Oh, I know. So it's like, yeah, we got something to look forward to. So I think it's at Gays of Days. If you want to follow them on Twitter, and we didn't bring up Lexi and break the news to Chad this week, and basically.
Aww.
Every time Renee Jones is on TV, I'm crying. And,
Aww.
You know, and she did it again. So those were great scenes. And poor EJ watching that, and they're talking about all being blood relatives and blah, blah, blah. And EJ's kind of squirming because he knows he's not really related to those two. And that was sad, you know, on his part, too. But I really like those scenes. I wanted to make sure that got brought up.
Oh, yeah, those are good scenes.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
We probably missed a few things, but I can't think of anything right now.
Oh, and we did have Lumi sex this week, but I'm kind of surprised. It really was...
They didn't show anything.
They didn't show anything. Seriously, if I was a Lumi fan, I'd be pissed. It was just kissing,
yeah.
A little bit stripping.
He was shirtless, and Sammy had his shirt on, but other than that,
yeah.
And Kate busted him. I forgot about that. Yeah, Kate interrupted, or came in and figured out what they had been up to, and she was freaking out over that, so.
Yeah, well, I think it's time to wrap it up. It's getting a little late. We are working on two interviews right now, and one is the rescheduling of Patrick Muldoon. That's probably going to be not this week, but the week after. So we have to nail down a date. It's Patrick, so who knows?
What do you mean?
As he says, he's a Libra, and Libras are indecisive. So, and we have another interview coming up. I don't know when that's going to be, so we're going to try and nail down a date for that one, too. So, and thanks for all the awesome people in the chat room. You guys are great.
Yes.
And very nice crowd tonight in the chat room. And Sarah didn't call in, but so we have to bring up that Magic was not on the show again this week.
Oh, yeah.
So, and no Magic Balls. And,
that we know of.
But next week Magic's on, right?
Oh, they are. Yay!
Doug and Julie's back. Victor and Maggie's
right.
Back. Jack and Jennifer are back.
Oh,
Kayla's
boy.
Back. I think everybody's
back. For the fake deaths, they're all back, I guess,
yeah.
Huh?
Everybody but Kimberly. Nice. Way to work that in. Good job. Not that we're bitter or anything.
Not at all.
No. Couldn't tell that at all, no.
You know, they need to get Patsy to start tweeting again. So I see her. She's on Facebook today. I don't know why she's not tweeting, though. But, Marianne got dropped a long time ago, so I don't know what happened there. But I'd like to thank Sabina for calling in and giving us her stories, and Anna, Nicole, SJ, and Angela. So we had a crowd of house tonight.
Yay.
All right. We'll see everybody next week.
All right.
Have a good
everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye.